Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Definitely a different feeling for me knowing that they're going up against a team that they're heavy underdogs. But, I mean, you just came out of this series and this game with such a great feeling. So, I mean, Saturday would have been game 7. Monday is going to be intense. It's going to be everything we wanted it to be. Right at the beginning of that game, if they're competing, we're going to get into it. And if they somehow win that first game, then everything changes. If they can win game 1, then this entire fan base turns on a dime and says, we can do this. If they lose by 25, then, well, all right, okay.
Normally, I would say that the other team would be so confident that they're going to beat you that maybe you can go in there and you can sneak in there and get game 1. But it's New York, it's the Knicks, and this is a Celtic team that has dominated them.
Yep, that's true.
So in order to beat them, there ain't no sneaking in. There's no getting in there and stealing one. You got to go in there and you got to play your ass off from start to finish.
Yeah,
that's how good the team is that you're going to be playing against, and that's the kind of depth that they have that you don't. At least we haven't shown that.
Yeah, and it would have been nice if they could have wrapped this thing up in 5 and had 2 more extra days off. Instead, they don't. But still, they got all of today off, all of Saturday off, all of Sunday off. They got to go and travel to Boston, so they'll have some rest. Jalen Brunson will be able to get a breather because this guy is just exuding so much just physical energy to put this team on his back that he's going to need every off day and get those ankles right too, which looked pretty good on that crossover last night.
It really did. It looked like he didn't have a problem with that, but I would imagine that anytime his ankle gets a little bit of a tweak or something, he feels like an electric current through that foot of his.
Yeah.
And it's not the easiest thing to deal with, but I will say that he still plays fearlessly. It's not like he's trying to protect it.
No, he can't play tentatively. I mean, the way he plays his game, if he's going to dominate, he's going to have no limitations.
Yeah, I mean, he is a fearless player. There's no question that most non-Jalen Brunson fans or non-Nick fans, you know, see him in a different light than we do, possibly. But the fact is, we haven't had a point guard like this in a long, long time. And the unquestioned leader of the team. You know, it's interesting. I was, talking to a number of, athletes over the last couple of days through my game time stuff. And,
yeah.
And we were talking about just, who the quarterbacks are, what they're all about. And I had Leroy Butler, the safety from the Green Bay Packers, is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what was it like playing with Reggie White? He goes, man, Reggie was unbelievable. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. He goes, Reggie was unbelievable. He was a great guy. And he was the unquestioned leader of the Packers. But he knew that in order for us to become a great team and a Super Bowl winning team, the quarterback had to be the face of the franchise. And he was saying that when, I know this is hard to believe because you may not think this, but when Brett took over in Green Bay, Leroy said he was kind of a quiet, he was a prankster for sure, but he wasn't really a leader. He wasn't a guy that would always speak up in meetings and things of that nature. And Reggie had to do all the rah-rah stuff, and he had to be the unquestioned leader on the team because he was such a powerful figure.
Yeah.
But Reggie White, according to Leroy Butler, Reggie White stood up in a meeting and goes, hey guys, listen, man, I'll still be the captain on defense. I'll still be, the spiritual leader of the team or whatever. But the face of this franchise is our quarterback, Brett Favre. That's the leader right there. So Reggie kind of put that moniker on him, and then he had to be accepting of that and become the great player that he became. And I would say that this is why Jalen Brunson is like the leader of the team. You could see how everybody expects him to handle the ball late in the game, create opportunities for his teammates, but sometimes it gets a little bit ISO ballish, and you know, there's a turnover here or a slip there or a non-call and a missed shot, and we all kind of get frustrated as fans. But for the team, that's what they expect him to do.
Yeah, I mean, in for all those times you get frustrated, you get that incredible layup, him driving to the basket to get the tip in from Bridges and the magical three-pointer that ended the series. I mean, so it's he has to still do it all, which is, I mean, Towns wasn't on the floor, but at that point, Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't getting the ball in crunch time anyway with the way that he was playing. But he's still doing it all on a team that we didn't want him to do it all. We wanted him to be there and running the offense and not have to score 40 points every night for them to win, but it's still what he has to do.
Well, he got a great game from Mikal Bridges last night. He got a really good game from OG last night, and Josh Hart just does what he does, you know, and it's kind of consistent, and he made all his free throws, which is important for him. But, you know, yeah, I would say that Karl-Anthony Towns and the bench were invisible.
Yeah,
and that's unfortunate. But I don't think that this series against the Celtics is going to be nearly the way that the series played out against the Pistons.
But does that help the Knicks or hurt the Knicks?
Well, I mean, defensively, I think it hurts them because this group can shoot. This group hits big shots themselves. And when they get rolling downhill, I mean, they're a bitch to stop. Mm. That's the problem. And the Knicks do not defend three-point shooting well, but I gave you the three-point statistics. I mean, they're pretty much even for both teams. It's really when you
hit the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs. It's really when you hit these shots, you know what I mean, that really counts. And when Bridges hits a big three-pointer the other night, you know, that's huge. And just like Jalen hit his three-pointer last night, they didn't have great three-point shooting nights, but yeah, it's when you hit those three-pointers that matter.
I mean, Mikal Bridges, this might sound nuts, but his misses look uglier than other guys' misses.
I feel like he's double clutches.
He's banging it off the rim, and like, yeah, it looks so bad.
But when he's on,
he's great. He was great last night.
I mean, it is swishing.
Yeah,
it's swishing.
And dishing. And swishing. And that's whatever. And we say goodbye to Clyde and Mike Breen doing a local broadcast. We'll see them next regular season.
Yeah.
And good game to end on, though.
It was a great game to end on and a great shot to end on. And now it just comes down to they have to get more from their bench. They just have to.
Well, it's up to Tibbs to want to play those guys.
I think he's got to play a couple of these guys.
And Precious being a big part of it, Campaign being another. I mean, but there's guys on that bench I don't need to see. I mean, Campaign, Deuce McBride, and Precious I'd like to see. I mean, I don't need to see a ton of Landry Shamet, to be quite frank. You know, but yes, I'd like to see a little bit of a deeper bench and some more energy off of that. But it's, you know, it's what Tibbs is not going to care. Like, whatever game plan he comes up with, he is not going to care what anybody thinks.
I would say Mitchell Robinson is the bench player.
Yeah.
That gives you the most.
Sure.
And yep, that's what he should be.
Yeah.
Although Miles McBride he's going to need to have much better shooting.
But he's a guy that needs to get into a rhythm with these games, you know, and it's tough for him. When he comes off the bench, you want him to be instant offense, and he's not consistent with that. So more minutes for him, though, means more minutes of Jalen Brunson on the bench generally. They don't play those two guys together all that much.
You just need Jalen Brunson for the last 8 minutes of the game. Somehow you got to keep that energy up for the last 8 minutes of the game.
Yeah. Put him on ice for three and a half quarters.
Like, what happens when he's off the court? You see what happens. They fall apart. And, you know, that in game five, when they couldn't get he and Hart back into the game, you saw what happened.
Yeah,
I mean, it happens in a blink of an eye, too. But that's the money spot in the game where he has to be out there.
I mean, we're past that now, but what happened last night with Jalen Brunson makes it even more egregious to have him sitting there not be able to check in at the end of that game.
And while you're saving a timeout. And that goes back to the coach, and the coach is in a very weird spot. He's boxed into a corner, and he's trying to do the right thing. And sometimes it's like the manager who pulls a pitcher, and then the reliever comes in and gives up a three-run homer, and you're like, why did you pull the pitcher? I only threw 90 pitches.
Yeah, right.
But if the reliever comes in and gets the strikeout and the inning's over, the manager's a genius.
It's all about the results.
That's
the process and the results.
The process and the results.
Well, yeah.